So today we're looking at a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we have to chant the Bhagavatam. What do you call it? Bija mantra. Om Nam Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, called Divinity and Divine Service. This is text number 17. Translation. Sri Krishna, the Personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, Supersoul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Read Prabhupada's purport. Messages of the Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, are none different from him. Whenever, therefore, offenseless hearing and glorification of God are undertaken, it is to be understood that Lord Krishna is present there in the form of transcendental sound, which is as powerful as the Lord personally. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his Shishastaka, declares clearly that the holy name of the Lord has all the potencies of the Lord, and that he has endowed his innumerable names with the same potency. There is no rigid fixture of time, and anyone can chant the holy name with attention and reverence at his convenience. The Lord is so kind to us that he can be present before us personally in the form of transcendental sound. But unfortunately, we have no taste for hearing and glorifying the Lord's name and activities. We have already discussed developing a taste for hearing and chanting the holy sound. It is done through the medium of service to the pure devotee of the Lord. The Lord is reciprocally respondent to his devotees. When he sees that a devotee is completely sincere and getting admittance to the transcendental service of the Lord, and has thus become eager to hear about him, the Lord acts from within the devotee in such a way that the devotee may easily go back to him. The Lord is more anxious to take us back into his kingdom than we can desire. Most of us do not desire at all to go back to Godhead. Only a very few men want to go back to Godhead, but anyone who desires to go back to Godhead, Sri Krishna helps in all respects. One cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless one is perfectly cleared of all sins. The material sins are products of our desires to lord it over material nature. It is very difficult to get rid of such desires. Women and wealth are very difficult problems for the devotee making progress on the path back to Godhead. Many stalwarts in the devotional line fell victim to these allurements and thus retreated from the path of liberation. But when one is held by the Lord himself, the whole process becomes as easy as anything by the divine grace of the Lord. To become restless in the contact of women and wealth is not an astonishment, because every living being is associated with such things from remote time, practically immemorial, and it takes time to recover from this foreign nature. But if one is engaged in hearing the glories of the Lord, gradually he realizes his real position. By the grace of God, such a devotee gets sufficient strength to defend himself from the state of disturbances, and gradually all the disturbing elements are eliminated from his mind. So, Shinvata Sukata Krishna Punya Sravana Kirtanaha Pridyantashto Hibadrani Vidu Noti Surit Satam. So Krishna is described in this verse as Riddhi Antashta. He is situated inside the heart. Riddhi is heart. So inside the heart. And he's called Surit. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Suridam Sarvabhutanam. I am the well-wishing friend of every living being. So the different kinds of friends. So one kind of friend, Sanskrit has different words for friends of different sorts. So one is called Suhrit. Same word as Hriddhi. Hrit means heart. Suhrit means good heart, good-hearted friend. So it means, usually Suhrit refers to somebody who may be in a somewhat senior or superior position, but who wishes you well and takes care of you, like a grandfather or an uncle or somebody like that. So someone who wishes one well and gives benedictions and watches out for one, that's a Suhrit, well-wishing friend. To wish somebody well is to desire that their well-being. We don't see a lot of times people who are other people's well-wishers. Even our friends, sometimes we're not really their well-wishers. The Germans have a word, Schadenfreude, which means that secret happiness you feel when some misfortune happens to your friend. Schadenfreude. And outwardly you say, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. But inside your heart saying, see, I'm better off than he is. Or as it said, it is not enough that one succeed, others must fail. So people are generally, even to find somebody who's genuinely a well-wisher of somebody, and in all circumstances, is very difficult. Mostly people are going around saying, go to hell, which means you're not your well-wisher at all. So Krishna here is described as the well-wisher situated in our heart. So that, Prabhupada in the purport describes him as the Paramatma. That's specifically the super soul. When the living being turns away from Krishna and comes into the material world, rejecting the service of Krishna to play around in forgetfulness and matter, Krishna doesn't forget the living entity. We want to forget Krishna, but Krishna doesn't forget us. And so he becomes our constant companion, of whom we are unaware. And he stays with the living entity, sticks to him like glue. And that he's called the super soul. We are the Atma, and Krishna is the Paramatma. There's only one super soul, but he manages to manifest himself in the heart of every living entity. Because he's God, he can do that. Just as though Jay Leno is on, you know, television sets all over. Even though there's only one. Although Krishna, it's not like there's a, each one is the original. He expands himself, but not like by electronic means. But anyway, so like that. Like a television personalities, you know, appears in millions of homes. So Krishna is there. So he comes to the living entity. Although he's one, he's situated in the heart of every living entity as the Suhrit, as the well-wisher. And he will cleanse the desire for material enjoyment from the heart if we are sincere and serious about it. So therefore, the word here in this verse says, so he's the benefactor of the truthful devotee, Surit Satam, the honest devotee, not one who is taking up spiritual life as a matter of fashion or to gain a reputation among certain circles as a saintly person or whatever, or someone who just likes the idea of being a spiritual person, but actually one who actually wants to go back to Godhead. And Prabhupada says in the purport, there are not many who want to go back to Godhead. It's rare enough. And that's, he also, Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita, that out of many thousands of people, only one endeavors for perfection. So it's a, most people are religious for material benefit, or as a matter of convention or fashion, so on. So one who's sincere and serious, then, as Prabhupada said, the Lord is reciprocally respondent to the devotee. So in that position, he cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart. Because that devotee is praying to Krishna, please, I want to go back to you. I want to become attached to Krishna, which means becoming detached from matter. And so the devotee has to be asking Krishna or concentrating his mind on Krishna. We have to give Krishna some attention. That if I have the chance to associate with Krishna, I should show that. So how? Shinvatam sukata Krishna. One has developed the desire to hear Krishna's messages, swakata, his own discourse, shrinvatam, that we have the desire to hear. And those messages, Krishna is also present. He's present in the heart, and in his own, he's present in his own swakata. So Prabhupada says the messages of Krishna are none different from Krishna. So at first, the Lord is in our heart, and we do not come into contact with Him very easily. We've been ignoring Him for so long. Somebody's got to break the ice. And so that icebreaker is sound. So Krishna first becomes manifest to us. Well, there's three ways Krishna is described here. First, in the verse in the purport. First, the sound. Second, the form of his devotee. And third, in the form of the supersoul. So when he's there in the form of sound, the most easily available form of Krishna is in the form of sound. This is the particular effort of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to spread Krishna in the form of sound. One has to perform sacrifice to Krishna. You have to take some ingredients of this material world and offer them to Krishna. But most religious sacrifices or rituals require wealth and purity. Like, for example, if you go to a temple in India, deity worship is going on, but you can't go in, even if actually the temple of Jagannath Puri, if you're a Westerner, they won't let you in the temple. You have to be a Hindu. They didn't even let Indira Gandhi in the temple because her husband, late husband, Feroz Gandhi, was actually not a Hindu. He was a Parsi. And so she was not allowed in the temple, even though she was the Prime Minister of India. And then her son, Rajiv Gandhi, was not allowed in because his wife was Italian. You know? And they don't allow ISKCON devotees to go in. So they have these of course, it's a nonsense restriction because they're just looking at qualification by bodily. But anyway, there are many, many things. To perform deity worship, you have to be a qualified Brahmin at any rate. Or sacrifices have to be performed at the right time. You have to have the right ingredients. You have to know all the mantras and so on like that. Like a Catholic church, you want to offer Mass, you have to be a priest. And you have to say the right words and have the right, you know, all these things are there. So most religious things require some ceremonial restrictions. But actually for chanting the holy name of Krishna, there is no time, place. You can do it anywhere. Yeah. So he's easily available in this form. Because there's a feature about Krishna. When he says the messages of Krishna are none different from him, sound about Krishna are none different from him. Because Krishna is non-dual. So Krishna and Krishna, the description of Krishna, or Krishna and the words that Krishna speaks, or Krishna and Krishna's name, are actually identical. This means that Krishna is actually present in the form of transcendental sound. Because of there is no difference between the name, say the name Krishna, and that which it names, Krishna. So that saying water, 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 I'll just get thirsty, or there'll be no quenching. I have to, you know, take a cup and pour the substance into my mouth. But in the case of Krishna, when I say Krishna, that is Krishna. So when I say Krishna, and that is Krishna, then I'm in contact with Krishna. And when I come into contact with Krishna, because Krishna is the supreme pure, I become purified. Therefore, punya shravana kirtana. You notice the second half of the first line. Punya shravana kirtana. That the Krishna katha, or the Krishna's discourse about Krishna or by Krishna, is punya. Means, he says here, virtuous. That it's full of all transcendental potencies or powers, and it is purifying, shravana and kirtana, to hear and to speak. It cleanses. It's antiseptic. It's an antidote. We're all suffering from material poisoning. Because matter is actually a kind of poison to the spirit soul, and we're all poisoned. I was just saw on the news where some kids somewhere down in Florida, they found these big jars of mercury, you know, liquid mercury, And they, it was passed around, maybe 50 kids, you know, they were playing with it and goofing off with it. And so somebody and they got mercury poisoning because it spread around and everywhere. And then, you know, it does bad things to you, inhale the vapors. And so, but it's not just mercury, really. All matter works as in a poisonous way to the spirit soul. And because of that poison, it affects us. Well, actually, of course, we suffer birth, death, old age, and disease. That's the symptoms of matter poisoning. We associate with matter, and then we identify ourselves with that poison. You know, causes us to become bewildered, identify ourselves with the body, and then we suffer birth, death, old age, and disease. So it's a fatal, fatal dose of matter. We've all contracted this poisoning. So the antidote to the material poisoning is the name of Krishna. It's easily administered. It's just as though people are struck with a plague and you have something, some antidote, and the medical team goes in with the stuff and starts, you know, injecting everybody with the antidote and saving their lives. This is what Chaitanya and the devotees do. We're bringing to people the antidote to their material poisoning. But this poisoning is such that it so bewilders a person that they have hallucinations and they think they're in good shape even as they're dying. They think they don't need any antidote. So it has that further effect. So that's why Punya Shravana Kirtana. So the first contact that we have is with the holy name. We come into contact with that name, the transcendental sound, which is as powerful as Krishna. So Krishna is he's an antidote, he's antiseptic, and so it clears away past infection and it keeps us from becoming reinfected. So that's why, especially, Krishna is so nicely available in the form of the Hare Krishna mantra. This is the convenient self-administering dosage which you have to take, and you really have to, you know, just like when you go to India, you're given a malaria prophylaxis, which you have to take every week, a pill, you know, then the mosquito may bite you, but you don't get the malaria. So you have to take the Hare Krishna mantra, regulation dosage, best is 16 rounds a day. If you keep up the regulation dosage, you're in better shape. But that's the minimum recommended thing for complete safety. So this is the conveniently administered antidote to matter. Hare Krishna mantra. So it's simple. I mean, there's three words, Hare, Krishna, and Rama. It's not so hard. And they're just names of Krishna. In one sense, you see, all those three, Sanskrit language has, if you've studied German or French or Spanish, these languages are called what is technically called, they're inflected. That, say, nouns will change the grammatical ending. And so if something is a subject, or something is a direct object, or an indirect object, or a possessive, it changes the ending. We have some as languages are newer, they tend to get less inflected. The older languages, the more inflection there is. Sanskrit's highly inflected language. Latin and Greek, a little less so. German, French, Spanish, even less. And English, you know, And we lose inflection over the course of time. Like, for example, the difference between who and whom. Who is a subject, but object or direct indirect object is whom. But now we just say who, doesn't matter what it is. Or I and me. We tend to forget, and people, these different changes. Hope we have a possessive case ending with apostrophe S, still in English, so there's some inflection. Anyway, Sanskrit's highly inflected. So in the Hare Krishna mantra, there's the word Krishna. Now, if you look at this verse today, Srinvatam Swakata Krishna, you notice has that H with the dot underneath it. That means it's in the nominative case. But in the Hare Krishna mantra, it's just Krishna without any ending. I mean, Krishna is also the root form. But also just Krishna without any ending is the vocative case. So it's the case of address. And the same way with Rama. If Rama was the subject of the sentence, it would be Ramaha. Or Ramas, depending on what's following, because it changes according to... I mean, Sanskrit's a little complicated, but... So that word Krishna in the Hare Krishna mantra is not just Krishna, it's O Krishna. You're calling, when you say Krishna, you're calling Krishna. When you say Rama, you're calling Rama. And the word Hare, now in the root form, it's Hara, H-A-R with a long A, Hara. And then in the vocative case, it becomes Hare. So we are addressing Hara, which is another name for Radharani. Or the energy of Krishna. The energy of Krishna, it's a name for Radharani or the Yogamaya energy, the energy of Krishna by which we are connected with Krishna. So we're asking Mother Hara, Radharani or Lakshmi Devi, to connect us with Krishna, because that's her business. So we're asking, O Krishna, O Radha, O Rama. So what are we asking? Well, we're asking to be connected with Krishna. So what is the nature of that connection? How are we connected with Krishna? By being engaged in Krishna's service. That is how we connect with Krishna. We're disconnected with Krishna because we are not serving Krishna. We are serving our senses, our illusion, matter. So connection or bhakti, that bhakti yoga, the word yoga means to connect. So bhakti yoga means we are connecting with Krishna through loving devotional service. So in one sense, that mantra is a prayer. Please engage me in your service. But at the same time, it's the answer to that prayer. Because by chanting, we are, in fact, engaged in Krishna's service. So it's simultaneously a prayer and the answer to the prayer, which is actually part of the nature of bhakti, because bhakti is a means for getting out of the material world and into relationship with Krishna. But what do we do when we're in relationship with Krishna? Stop my devotional service? No, then I perform bhakti. But in a purer way. So when we perform devotional service to Krishna, what we ask for is more devotional service. So this Hare Krishna mantra as a prayer is the purest prayer. Those prayers are impure when I ask Krishna to give me material things. When I ask Krishna to give me devotional service, then that is pure. That's love. Please engage me in your service. But the prayer when I say, give me money, give me a nice wife, give me a nice husband, give me good health, give me this, give me that, then I'm asking Krishna to be engaged in my service. So we can ask Krishna, just let me be engaged in your service, with the conviction that, because Krishna promises, anyone who's engaged in my service, I take care of that person. You don't have to worry about it. So we should have this confidence that if I'm engaged in Krishna's service, Krishna, who says he has reciprocally responded to the devotee, I don't have to have any motive. That as far as if I'm worried about my well-being, Krishna will handle that. He's in my heart, he's the Surit. So if I engage in his service, automatically everything else will be fulfilled. So I don't have to worry about myself. I can have that confidence in Krishna. I can just be engaged in his service. But people are actually thinking to engage God in their service. And now I expect this from you. And then as soon as I think he hasn't held up his end of the bargain, I've become sick or something bad has happened, then I say, oh, there's no God, you know, and so on like that. But so this is the purest prayer. It's simple, Hare Krishna and Rama, three words. Has a nice rhythm, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's, you know, bouncy, you know. Easy to say. 16 words, and it's very pure. And but the same thing is, it is actually all just simply three names of Krishna, or Krishna's energy. So by saying those names, we associate with Krishna. I call him and he's there. People try to, you know, make pentagrams and call the names of demons, and sometimes, poof, they're there, you know, wow, what have I done, you know. Like Faust did it, and Mephistopheles appears in his study. So there's names, somehow you know how to do a name in a potent way, who you're naming shows up. But Krishna is actually present in his name. It's not like some magic conjuring trick. Because Krishna and Krishna's names are none different. So he's actually there. So we just say the word Krishna, we're associating with Krishna. He is the supreme pure, and by that contact, we become purified. If you take iron, and you put it into contact, you put it in a fire. Well, one's earth element, and the other's the fire element. But the iron staying into contact with the fire gradually becomes hot, and then it starts to glow, and then it becomes cherry red and white hot, and for all practical purposes it's fire. So we're maybe material and Krishna is spiritual, but if he is available to us in the form of sound, then we associate with him, we become spiritualized and purified. But that sound Krishna is actually none different from Krishna, so it's the same Krishna who's situated already in our heart, just waiting patiently, as the Surit Satam. So he's acting within. He's acting, and so when we become, when we develop this desire, especially a taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna. Now, how is that taste? He says, Prabhupada says, through the medium of service to the pure devotee of the Lord. So we have to serve the devotees. This was, he said, the previous verse, actually. By serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Krishna. So if I think I'm not so attracted as I want to be to the messages of Krishna, then I should engage in the service of the devotees. Now, why should the devotees want me to engage in their service? I mean, aren't so many people trying to engage me in their service all the time? Do this for me, your mother said. Do that for me, just do this. And, you know, you pick up the phone, somebody wants you to give for this or give for that, or and our employer wants us to engage in his service, and he wants us to produce more wealth than he gives back to us in the form of pay so he can keep the surplus and the difference and so on. So service, we don't maybe like service so much. We'd rather be served than to render service. But when it comes to Krishna, we're better off serving. And it says particularly the pure devotees of the Lord. In other words, somebody who's already engaged in Krishna's service, I serve that person. Because if I serve the servant of Krishna, then I'm serving Krishna. How else do I know? What does Krishna want? I'm sitting in my room and I get the idea I should do something for God. What does he want? How do I know? So I have to find somebody who is serving God and serve that person. So it's a simple thing. Go to devotees.